Welcome this evening. We're glad to be together to worship our God. Thank you for being here. And thank you for sharing together with me in our light precious faith. What a wonderful thing it is to have that precious faith through which we can overcome the world and be pleasing to our God. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles tonight to the book of Revelation as we start our lesson together. Again, we want you to know if you're visiting with us, we're so happy that you're here and can study God's Word with us tonight. Lesson tonight is entitled, Keeping the Faith. I'd like to read a little bit from Revelation 14. Revelation's not normally a book that we go to get a lot of sermons from, I think, but there's an awful lot of good in it. In the reading that I'm going to share with you, John sees in the heavenly visions that are shown to him a succession of three angels and the messages that they deliver. And he says in verse 6, I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water. So here is, in Bible terms and in the mouth of an angel, the essence of the everlasting gospel. Worship God. Give Him the glory. These are the things that the angel said. And then another angel followed, saying, Babylon has fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. So there's some city in the context of the book of Revelation that has fallen, that's a wicked city, that's arrayed against the people of God. And this angel announces that. And then a third angel in verse 9 followed them, saying with a loud voice, If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And their smoke and the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image and whoever receives the mark of his name. I'm pretty sure that none of us would want to be among those who worshiped the beast or had the mark of his image. I think in the context of the book of Revelation, that's probably talking about those who are allied with the Roman Empire and especially the emperor worship and false religion that went along with that. I read all of that to get to verses 12 and 13. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. Verse 13 is a verse that we often read at funerals. Verse 12 is a verse maybe that we haven't studied or thought of quite as much. But the indication is that those who are saved and those who are saved eternally will be those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. You know what it is to keep something? What does it mean to keep a commandment? Well, in most of our minds, that probably means, well, just do what it says. That's what keeping a commandment is. What does it mean to keep the faith? That phrase is also there. Well, do what the faith says. What if I gave you a precious coin and told you to keep it? I said, keep this coin. What would that mean to you? Hold it special. Preserve it. Don't let go of it. When I was a little boy, about third grade, we were staying with my grandparents for a while. My granddaddy gave me a half dollar. I don't think I'd ever seen a half dollar before. He told me to keep that. It was a keepsake. He gave it to me. And I did keep it for several days until I heard the ice cream truck going down the street one day and decided to run out and give away my keepsake in exchange for a popsicle. After I ate the popsicle, I realized I didn't have my keepsake anymore. And of course, I started crying. And when my folks asked me what I was crying about, I explained that I'd given away something I was supposed to keep. And I didn't like the bargain. And out of the goodness of their hearts, they gave me 50 cents, and I chased down the ice cream truck, about 6 blocks, I think it was by then, and got my half dollar back. I think I still have it in a drawer in my room. It's something I was supposed to keep. God is saying to us here and throughout Scripture, you want to go to heaven, keep the faith. That's how important it is. Paul challenges us in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and 5 to examine ourselves whether or not we're in the faith, to prove ourselves, to see whether or not we're keeping this faith. That's the challenge before us tonight in this lesson. I want us to understand our responsibility to keep the faith, how important it is. So many passages on this. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Stand fast in the faith. Stand fast in it, the faith. And I want you to notice we're using the word faith here in what is called an objective sense. We're not talking about, right now at least, our personal belief in something. We're talking about what God has given us to believe in. We're talking about the system of faith. We're talking about that which Jude mentions in Jude verse 3, that God has delivered to us. We're to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. We're talking about what God expects us to believe, His revelation to us. This is what we need to stand fast in. Stand fast in the faith. God has said, here it is. You keep it. You hold it precious. Stand fast in it. Strive for it. Look at Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. Let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, Paul says, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. We need to be striving for this faith. And again, Jude 3 said, contending for this faith. The faith that God has given. If I were to ask you today, how many faiths are there? You'd say, well, there's tons. All kinds of different faiths. But I ask you this evening, how many faiths did God give us to keep? One. Just one. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, there is one faith. Just one. Jude in verse 3 talks about, again, contending earnestly for the faith. Here in Philippians 1:27, striving together for the faith. Just one faith. We stand fast in it. We strive for it. We contend for it. We continue in it. Look at the book of Colossians chapter 1. Notice a couple of passages from this great book. Paul talks to the Colossians and he says, you were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works in verse 21 of chapter 1. Yet now He is reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. So now we've been brought to God, he says. But this is conditional. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. So to continue in the faith is necessary. To continue in the faith is necessary if we're to be accepted by our Heavenly Father. And skip on down in the book of Colossians to chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As therefore you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. The steadfastness of your faith. You're just staying with it. You're just keeping it. You are, to use another phrase, holding on to it without wavering. This is how Paul describes it in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 19. The King James Version there says, I think it's the King James, maybe the American Standard talks about holding faith. The New King James says, having faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning the faith, have made shipwreck. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23, the King James Version there says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. I think some of the other translations talk about the confession of our hope. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. We have something to hold on to here, folks. We have something to stand fast in, to strive for, to continue in, to hold on to it. It's precious. It needs to be a part of our lives. We need to be standing in it, talking about it, defending it. And it's not just our opinions that we're talking about here again, but it's the God-given faith that He expects us to accept, that He expects us to keep. I'll talk to you about some of the effects of doing that. When you have that faith that God has given you in your heart, and therefore your faith is the faith that was, so to speak, given from heaven, you believe in what you're supposed to believe in, that one faith that's been delivered to us, it can have remarkable effects in your life. If we keep the faith, among other things, we can accomplish great things. Jesus taught this so many times when He was here on earth. If you look at Luke chapter 17, verses 5 and 6, the apostles wanted greater faith, greater personal faith, to believe the things that Jesus was telling them, to follow those things, to hold to those things. So the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. The Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. I'm not really sure what a mulberry tree is, but I have tried to pull up various other trees. And if they get very big at all, you're not going to pull them up. You're not going to pull them up. And even a pretty small tree, I've gone to saplings before, and maybe you've done this as well, that have just come up in your flower garden or in your yard or something like that. You get a hold of the sapling and you start yanking on it and you realize it's not coming. It's just not coming. It's not going to happen. And yet by faith you can do the hard things. By faith you can do great things that otherwise perhaps could not be done. If I believe in what God has said to me, what I'm saying is, what Jesus is saying here, if you believe in what God has said to you, if you trust in His promises, if you know that these things are true, in other words, Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible. Faith in the faith can accomplish great things. And faith in the faith will furthermore accomplish its duty. If you go on and read in verse 7 and following, which of you, and Jesus in the same context, after they said to increase our, ask Him to increase our faith, He talks about the kind of faith, if they had it, what they could accomplish with it. He says, then which of you, in verse 7, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he's come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself and serve till I've eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise, when you have done all those things that you are commanded, and let me just stop there. And you know what's involved in all those things that you are commanded? The faith. Of course, there's a lot more to the faith than all those things that you're commanded. But part of the faith is all those things that you're commanded. Jesus says, when you've done all those things, you're still just an unprofitable servant. But you've done all those things in faith. You accomplish your duty if you keep the faith. That's implicit in keeping the faith. If we keep the faith, it means that Christ is living in us. Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ which lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live in faith. That faith which is in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. If we keep the faith, we have confidence that we will receive an eternal reward. Well, familiar with the closing words, really, of near the closing words of the Apostle Paul, in all that he wrote for us by inspiration, as he comes to this wonderful fourth chapter of 2 Timothy. And in verses 7 and 8, the well-known passage, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. I believe in those three statements, is he not really saying the same thing, just in different language, three times? I'm not much for watching prize fights and whatnot. I've seen a few over the years, I suppose. What does it mean to finish the fight? You don't give up no matter how hard it gets, do you? You might take a lot of blows. You might get knocked to the canvas. Get back up again and fight some more. Paul says, I've fought the good fight. He says, I've finished the race. It's a 5-mile race. You quit at 4 miles, you hadn't finished it. If you're running a race and you quit when you run out of breath, you didn't finish it. And then he says, I've done those things and I've kept the faith. And really, in all three of those statements, he's saying the same thing. I didn't stop. I didn't give up when it got hard, when it got difficult. I went all the way to the finish line. Keeping the faith means going all the way to the end. And when you do that, you have confidence of an eternal reward. He says, finally, or one translation says, therefore, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing. You have confidence in that. Great thing to keep the faith. How come some people don't do it? What we've just seen in broad terms in the last few minutes is how important it is to keep the faith, necessary to go to heaven, what's involved in general terms at least in keeping the faith. Why is it that some people don't keep the faith? Why is it that we have so many faiths, plural, that aren't the faith that God has delivered to us? There are four things from Scripture I want to share with you just quickly. First of all, I believe that some people don't keep the faith because they're not willing and don't receive rebuke when they need to. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 13, Paul is telling Titus about how to deal with Christians or people in general on the island of Crete. He's basically saying they've got some moral problems you're going to have to overcome. And he says, this testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. Now, if you're not willing to receive rebuke when you need it, sharp rebuke perhaps at times, the implication here obviously is you're not going to be sound in the faith. If you can't receive correction, if you can't be told when you're wrong and accept that you're wrong and straighten it out, you're not going to be sound in the faith. And so a lot of people aren't sound in the faith because they don't want to listen to rebuke. They don't want to listen to being corrected. The only way these people were going to be sound in the faith is if Titus rebuked them sharply. And they accepted that. And then there are some who don't keep the faith because they allow themselves to be influenced by false teaching. This reality is spoken of a number of times in Scripture. Please go back with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And notice verse 1. The Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from, guess what? The faith. In latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. In other words, the reason they're departing from the faith is because they're listening to stuff that's not true, that comes from the devil. That's not what God has delivered to us. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. What are some of these terrible, horrible things that are involved in the false teaching that caused people not to keep the faith, to depart from the faith? Well, look at verse 3. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. You know, there are religions that call themselves the faith of God today that command some of their quote-unquote clergy to abstain from marriage, that command members not to eat certain meats, not to eat acceptable foods. You know what those folks have done, according to the Apostle Paul? They departed from the faith. And you know what? If you want to depart from the faith, you know what you need to do? You need to go listen to those kind of people. You need to go to some kind of conference where they all are, where they can indoctrinate you into some of the things that they teach, and have fellowship with them. That's how these people departed from the faith. Some people don't keep the faith because they love material things. Get so enamored with this world. Paul says in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some, having coveted after, have erred from the faith, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. As disciples, when we accept the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, we need to count the cost. Jesus says, you can't be my disciple unless you're willing to give up everything you've got. Unless these worldly goods and all this worldly stuff, that has to be put back. Put second. You've got to put me first. You can't keep the faith and love material things. Give your life to acquiring material things. You can't keep the faith and do that. You've got to put Jesus first. Some people don't keep the faith because they don't learn to rely on their faith to overcome trials and temptations. As we talked about earlier, God has made a lot of promises to us. He'll be with us. He'll see us through. He'll strengthen us through hard times. In the end, He'll save us. Whoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. We have to stand against the devil and against all that is in the world by what God has given us to believe in. Be sober, Peter says in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. That's how you resist. Holding on to your faith, no matter what Satan may throw at you. There have, I think, among Christians, been many who have been terribly inconsistent and careless with their faith. I wonder sometimes what God must think of us when making money comes before thanksgiving to God, when our children's recreation is a higher priority than their religious education, when the company we work for thrives, but the church we're a part of decays. I wonder what God must think of us. Does He see us as people who are treasuring, keeping the faith that He has given to us? Keeping the faith requires regarding the faith as something that's precious. requires consistency. It demands it. Brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. When Paul came to the end of his journey, fought the good fight, I finished the course, I've kept the faith, he was sure. He was sure. As we come into our relationship with God and continue in it, let's draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He is faithful. He who promised is faithful. God's given us something precious. Are you keeping it in your life? Are you living it in your life? That's the question of tonight. If you're not, and it may be well be that somebody this evening is just saying, you know, I know what He says. I know what He wants me to do. But I've just not been doing that. I've just not been keeping that faith precious. I've given it up for, metaphorically, a popsicle. I'd suggest you run after the ice cream truck and get it back. It's too precious to give up. We'd ask you to come while we stand and sing.